In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we're continuing in our study of prayer from the book Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. Now, we've been talking about Stephen and how he suffered and prayed for those who persecuted him. We looked at Paul, Job, Daniel's three friends, Nehemiah, Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail. Now we come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Christ demonstrates on so many occasions the importance of prayer. And I just like to go to one intimate setting that we get to see. I thank the Lord that He revealed this part of His life to us because it helps us understand the sorrow, the grief, and what was about to happen. We see His humanity, and it encourages me to know that my Lord understands difficult days. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 44. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Then He came to His disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, a second time, He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done." And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So He left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You and I will never truly understand in this life the sorrow that Christ felt this night in the garden. I mean, if you look at the text, there's these incredible words that are used: sorrowful, deeply distressed, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. You know, Jesus brings Peter and James and John, His three closest companions, to share this experience. He actually asked them to pray for Him. And then He shows us that this is the most difficult thing. He lets us know that this is going to be hard, and that if it was possible, if there was any other way, He would gladly accept that path. But Christ, being God, knew there was no other way. This is why He came into the world. And so Christ, in prayer, submits to the Father's will. This is so important to understand. See, prayer is not about changing the mind of God. It's about changing our mind. Now, in the case of Christ, He never sinned. He obeyed the Father perfectly in every way. But in this case, He is affirming the Lord's will. His humanity recognizes the pain and suffering. His deity, His full person, understands this is necessary. And I love the idea that's going on here, in that as Christ is submitting to the will of the Father, He is the servant here. And why is He dying? Well, He's dying first to obey the Father, but He's dying to save you and me. Don't lose sight of this. Don't forget what Christ did for you. This is why we pray. We pray because Christ is the only mediator between God and man. He is our great high priest, and He deserves that position for what He did for you and me. And so when you pray to God. Because you might be suffering and you might be persecuted, he understands. Hebrews 4, 14, 15 are such an important passage to help us understand this. In fact, let me jump down to verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, and that's a terrible translation. It really should be confidently. There's no pride here. Let us come confidently. So there's a sense of humility to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is who Christ is. So when we pray to the Father through Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are praying through our mediator who understands life is hard. He understands the sorrow. He understands suffering. He's not unaware of your situation. On the contrary, he understands and feels more deeply your situation because he's God and he understands. Maybe this will help this illustration to understand how Christ's temptations were way more profound than anything you and I will ever experience. See, in this life, we're flesh. And when we are tempted and the temptation is difficult, we usually end up sinning. It shouldn't be, but that's what happens. But in Christ's case, he never sinned. So the temptation had its full impact on him. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand this. Imagine a steel bar, and that represents the deity of Christ. Now imagine wrapping that steel bar with tissue paper, paper that easily tears. Now when you apply pressure to that steel bar, that tissue paper receives the full strength. So the steel bar represents his deity, the tissue paper represents his flesh. That temptation is being fully applied to that steel bar, and it never breaks. But boy, oh boy, does it receive the full force, the full impact, all the strength of that temptation. But it does not break. It does not sin. So let me tell you, does Christ understand your situation? Absolutely. More profoundly than you could ever understand. Plus, he's God. So he understands all the situations, all the details. He fully is aware of everything that's going on in your suffering and persecution. So can you pray to him and expect him to have an understanding attitude? Absolutely. And if you don't pray to him, how are you going to survive the suffering and persecution? Do you think you have any power on your own to deal with the situation apart from prayer? That's insanity. That's impossible. The only way to endure is with prayer. And so the question is, will you pray? You know, I love what Matthew says, switching gears here. Remember, Christ is going to the cross, and there are enemies there that are going to put him on the cross. But I say to you, this is Christ on the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is Christ preaching this on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I think we forget this little verse here. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Sometimes we turn a church into a place of hiding rather than a place of launching. How involved are you in outreach? Those at work, those in your neighborhood. We live in a time where the light is so needed. Put yourself out there. Reach out in kindness. We live here in Wisconsin, and snow is coming. There's a reason why they call it the frozen tundra over here. And for me personally, it's a great opportunity to show the gospel. I got a snowblower, and I love it as an opportunity to go up and down people's sidewalks and save them some work. And hopefully it starts a conversation. And I have had some conversations from that gives me a gospel opportunity. Whatever it may be, pray for an opportunity and recognize they're not your enemy. They may be an enemy to the gospel, but ultimately they're an opportunity to shed the love of Christ to them. And so bless them, pray for them. Life is full of tests designed not to fail you, but to refine you. And by praying daily, you will be prepared to walk in the Spirit rather than the flesh, ready to accept and expect suffering and persecution. See, trials and temptations are always a reason to pray, but never reasons to disobey. So the question is, what is the role of prayer for you at the beginning, middle, and end of each day? Do you have an established routine of praying regularly? Are you denying yourself this day, carrying your cross this day? Are you following Christ in suffering for the sake of the gospel so that you please God? Do you know that when you are obedient, there's a reward for you at the judgment seat of Christ? Do you desire for Christ to say, good and well done, faithful servant? You know, I don't know what it's going to take in your life to pray regularly. I have found that when I start to neglect prayer, there's, let's just say, situations that arise reminding me to pray. And they come in all different forms. And if we're not praying, if we're not seeking and asking God for wisdom, we have no chance to get through that trial properly. Trials are an opportunity for you to see your sin sometimes. Trials sometimes are opportunities to grow in godliness. And most trials are an opportunity for others who see you in the trial to see whether your faith is sincere and to see whether they can see Christ in it or not. See, God wastes nothing. So when a trial comes into your life, it's not just all about you. It's about those around you. And what you do in that trial and how you pray and how you obey has the possibility to, like a rock that hits the water and ripples out. When you pray and obey, when you're being persecuted and you're suffering, the gospel will ripple out from you and it will impact others. For some, it may be the very thing that leads them to salvation. For others, it may end up leading them to condemnation. But nevertheless, your obedience and your praying and your prayers through that to obey are critical for the gospel to go out. Let me close with this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. This is my prayer for you. Read Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Read 1 Corinthians 10:31. And may you pray through and pray and prepare for suffering and persecution. Join us again shortly as we move into chapter 6, Concern Yourself with the Kingdom of God. We hope you're enjoying this time in our book, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. You can learn more at reflectthegloryofgodinprayer.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.